Today's program is brought to you by Whole Foods Market. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Hi, you're listening to Feast Meets West, the show where we tell the story behind your favorite Asian dishes. I'm Linda Liu, and on the line is my co-host in Hong Kong, Iris Van Kerkhove.
Good morning from Hong Kong. It's actually a cold and miserable day. Cold, of course, being like 55 degrees.
Stop!
But I'm feeling a little under the weather, so I apologize if I start coughing in the middle of the show.
Aw, Iris. It's like 40s today, and sunny, feels like the start of spring, but it's going to snow on Friday, so there's that.
I miss snow. I say that, but maybe not really.
So for those tuning in, we are broadcasting live from Heritage Radio Network at Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Every episode, Iris and I dig deep on an Asian dish. We trace its history and how it traveled to the West, and we interview experts on that topic.
Today we're talking about a dish that we've maybe been a little intimidated to tackle so far because there's just so much to say about it, and it's been so trendy in the last several years, and that is ramen.
Yeah, I'm so glad we're finally talking about it. So we'll be chatting through the history of ramen, how perceptions on this dish have changed around the world. And also, we want to talk about the evolution of ramen and where it's headed in the future with JT Vong and George Padilla of UG Ramen, who are here with us today. Welcome, guys.
Hello. Thank you for having us. Happy International Women's Day.
Thank you. Yay. Happy International Women's Day. So JT is the head chef, and George is the general manager at UG Ramen, a restaurant in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. They have a mission to introduce new variations of Japanese ramen to the U.S. Before I dig deep with JT and George, Iris, could you give us a definition of ramen?
Sure. So at some point, the word was probably associated with instant ramen and college students, but I feel at this point, ramen doesn't really need an introduction anymore. It's very well recognized and loved by foodies all over Asia and the Western world, especially those who love Japanese cuisine. And unlike the image of the starving college kid, people do not have a problem paying $16 for a bowl of it. For those who really don't know, it's a noodle dish from Japan. There are countless variations, but you can boil ramen down, no pun intended, to four elements, and that's the broth, the noodles, the toppings, and the tare. The tare being sort of the main seasoning of the dish, and it really makes the style or essence of that particular bowl of ramen. So the tare can be miso, shoyu, which is soy sauce, shio, which literally means salt, or tonkatsu, which is made from pork bones.
It's like a perfect day for ramen, too. So what's the history of ramen?
So we're not too sure about the origins of ramen, but it's speculated that the name ramen is the Japanese pronunciation of the Chinese word lamian, which is a Chinese noodle. Japan has used this term from the 1950s onward. But before then, what we call ramen today was called shin soba, which literally means Chinese soba. So this points to perhaps the Chinese heritage of the dish, and some historians believe the dish came to Japan with Chinese tradesmen in the 19th century, but others believe it was a dish entirely invented in Japan. There's actually an awesome Lucky Peach article about the history of ramen, which breaks it down from all the way back to 2000 BC of, like, when noodles were invented. And maybe we'll throw that up in the show notes or in on social media. But I just want to mention a few milestones in the history of ramen. So first would be after World War II, ramen became really widespread in Japan for two reasons. First, cheap flour imported from the U.S. flooded the Japanese market. Second, Japanese troops had just returned from China, and some of those who had become really familiar with Chinese cuisine during their posts set up Chinese restaurants in Japan. Then, fast forward to 1958, Momofuku Ando invented instant noodles, which was, of course, the ultimate game changer. He was the Taiwanese-Japanese founder and chairman of the brand Nissin Foods at the time. You'll, of course, recognize that name from the super popular David Chang restaurants, and they are indeed named Momofuku as an indirect nod to this man. Then in the 80s and 90s, it became a bit of a national frenzy. You started seeing ramen celebrities, ramen video games, ramen museums in Japan. This probably paved the way for the for America and the rest of the world to join Japan's obsession with ramen, as we've seen in the last couple of decades.
Got it. Super long history. Really interesting. So what do you think the current status of ramen is now? And what are the different opinions of the dish in Japan and beyond?
Well, I think in Japan it continues to be very much a staple. You can get it everywhere. There's so many, you know, regional varieties. It's great for solo diners. It's quick to eat. It's not expensive. Outside of Japan, maybe people don't know all the regional variations, but it's really blown up outside of Japan. Maybe to a lesser extent in Europe, but in Asia and North America for sure. And while sushi was, and maybe continues to be, the representative food of Japanese cuisine for the outside world, I would say ramen has definitely become the second.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's like right up there.
Yeah.
So to talk a little bit more about ramen and specifically what they do special at Yuji Ramen, George, JT, could you tell us a little bit more about what you guys do?
Sure. So thank you so much again for having us here. So JT and I both work at Yuji Ramen. It's a restaurant in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. The restaurant also has another name, also Okonomi. So it's kind of one restaurant with two separate sides, a daytime and a nighttime brand of the company. But everything really originated as Yuji Ramen, and our founding chef, Yuji Haraguchi, had started his company in 2011, 2012, actually right around here in Roberta's, where we're broadcasting from. He had
full circle.
He was doing some early pop-ups after midnight, I heard, on Thursday nights for mostly Roberta's staff. And Yuji's mission was to really come up with a way of exposing customers around here to American and domestic East Coast fish and seafood. Mm. So his background was as a fishmonger, and felt like noodles were a good way to expose people and get people to eat more underappreciated local fish and seasonal fish. So our restaurant at Yuji Ramen, the permanent location's been around since 2014, and I've been working with JT and Yuji for a while before the restaurant. I handle mostly the hospitality side of things, a little bit of the admin, but I just love presenting our food, and JT's the one who's responsible for making sure the kitchen is all in line and putting out our food, so he can tell you a little bit more about where these dishes that we present come from.
Hopefully.
yeah, that's great. So what are your guys' food backgrounds, actually, and what brought you to work at Yuji Ramen?
So basically, I caught the food bug like everybody else at some point, switched careers. First place I ever worked at was a sushi bar. And then very, very limited skill set. The owner sold it, so I moved on. And then my friend recommended me to hit up Yuji Ramen in Whole Foods. and the rest, yeah, rest is history.
Oh, that's awesome.
I can't really do
anything
else.
So it started from the Whole Foods location.
Yeah.
And what about you, George?
Well, actually, I was a customer of Yuji's as well. I had met Yuji when he was doing some events at the Smorgasburg Brooklyn Flea, and had never had ramen like his ramen before, Mazimin, without any super broth, and was very interested in the... It just seemed so healthy and so good for you, and, you know, started eating it weekly, and... My background is not in food at all. I had a different career in environmental consulting and public health, and at the time, Yuji was expanding his pop-up at Whole Foods, saw a posting on Facebook, and just wrote him out of the blue and was happy to have a chance to learn how to make ramen with Yuji and JT and the rest of the team, and that was a bit more than 3 years ago, and ended up kind of changing my path and
That's great.
Starting out at Okonomi when the restaurant opened full time. So
yeah, it's so cool to hear how Yuji like had such a huge impact on both of you guys with the food, starting with the food. What was your relationship with ramen in the past? Like, how much did you know about it? How frequently did you eat it?
Oh man, kind of a weird thing. So I was born in Taiwan, so there's a lot of Japanese influence. And there's a noodle dish there that pretty much is almost exactly the same as ramen without specific toppings, a bit lighter.
What's that called?
I don't know. In Taiwanese, it's changami. I don't know what it is
okay.
in Mandarin.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the most similar thing I've ever had before. Then I had ramen at Rai Rai Ken and in Tokyo. And then, Rai Rai Ken in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what opened the whole can of worms. I guess that sounds really gross. Can of noodles.
Slimy, just like the noodles. And George, did you have a bunch of ramen before working here?
I never really thought so much of ramen as, you know, something to really ponder or deliberate much on before. When I went to school in Portland, Oregon, and had some really great friends in college that really exposed me to a lot of Japanese cuisine and culture. And, you know, we'd go out to eat ramen and izakaya food, but... really, until I'd had Yuji's ramen, I hadn't really thought of it as something that could be very thoughtful and more than just kind of a comfort food. And so it wasn't necessarily that I was specifically interested in ramen or noodles in particular, but it was just good, wholesome food that,
sure.
that kind of hooked me.
For sure. And so what would you say are the most popular variations of ramen? Or those that Americans would be most familiar with? And then how is what you serve at Yuji Ramen different?
Well, I think that at least from my perspective, what seems to be very popular with ramen these days is a tonkotsu-style broth. I think by default, people associate ramen with being something very porky and very rich and very meaty. And... you know, in the introduction, I think I heard Iris saying that ramen doesn't need any introduction. But actually, at the very beginning of working with Yuji Ramen, and we're serving Mazimen-style ramen at Whole Foods, that was just something that was every couple minutes, somebody would ask, what's Mazimen? And so Mazimen, for those of you that may not know, is a brothless style of ramen, which is how Yuji Ramen, our company, really originated, focusing on creating... brothless style ramen. And maze means to mix in Japanese, and men is noodles. So these noodles are meant to be all mixed up together with atare and sauce and toppings. And so I think that there's still a lot of
like education.
Education that,
yeah.
Exactly.
Actually, that was my first time having mazimen too. Was at the Whole Foods pop up. I think he's really kind of put it on the radar a bit more, at least in the like. New York City area.
Mm-hmm. But you know, I think far far more common is ramen with soup and broth, and I think that if there's one thing in kind of in common or more general that everybody thinks about when it's ramen, it's comfort food and something to that's a fun, you know, fun,
yeah.
easy, approachable food to have.
So that's interesting that he decided not to go with something more traditional. So when Yuji started the pop-up, why did he decide to serve, like, say, newer or less familiar versions?
Well, one of the things is that because he's doing a pop-up, the logistics of making broth and carrying it is kind of really, really difficult. Mazumin is a style that's a bit more transportable. The noodles is much thicker, at least the one we use is much thicker, more akin to like pasta. You can serve it actually cold as well. There's a few dishes like the salmon and cheese or uni miso mazumin that carry over really well because there are cold products on top to begin with. But then once he did get the Whole Foods pop-up location, he dipped it more deeply into broth as well. And then the whole Matanai concept started to form a lot more behind it, which is minimizing waste, basically. Mm. So we use a lot of different bones from the fish especially to add an extra layer of flavor.
Got it. That's a really cool philosophy to have. I think that's pretty unique. The waste-conscious methods that you guys have. How is the menu set up, and how frequently does it change?
Forgot to bring a menu. I was going to bring a menu tonight. Oh. But basically, in the evening, Yuji Ramen, all of the main dishes are noodle dishes, and we have two sections of ramen. There's the mazumin section and the ramen section. Mm. And so mazumin, as you've heard already, it's really our signature style dishes, and a lot of the mazumin dishes that we offer on the menu are classics that have been running on the menu for at this point almost 6 years for some of them, like bacon and egg mazumin, uni miso mazumin, miso roasted vegetable, and some rotating seasonal ones too. But then for the other section of the menu with ramen with soup and broth, it's really easy to explain to customers who are visiting what these two sections mean. So one is a brothless style with different shape of noodles, so more like a pasta style shape, bit flatter and thicker and nice chewy al dente texture with sauce and toppings that you mix up to get all the flavors together. And then the other style of ramen that we serve with soup and broth at our restaurant, it's all seafood and fish based broth, and the noodles are a bit straighter, more narrow Kyoto style noodles designed to take on the flavor of the broth. And while it's all fish and seafood based, most of our broths are blended with chicken bones and pork bones as well. Okay. So a good place to start at Yuji Ramen is deciding whether or not you feel like soup or broth, or without. And
I would say also it changes a little. Every day it changes a little bit, different veggies or different fish. Even the broth changes a bit because the fish that comes in for the breakfast, we roast the head and bones and add it to a blend of pork and chicken as well. So, for instance, you get certain fish which are much more oily, like all the mackerels or even bluefish. Mm-hmm. It'll add a lot more, a bit more of a heavy flavor behind it. Or if you get a lot more whitefish, like fluke, for instance, it's not going to really... It'll add a little bit of body, but it won't be as intense.
Right, so you adapt it completely to what's local, what's seasonal, in a way?
Yeah.
Very cool. And what are some of your guys' favorite iterations?
Oh, man, it's hard to say. It changes all the time because we do such distinctive things from each other, within ourselves. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I want, the thing that got me most is the salmon and cheese, mazumin. I ate that before I applied, actually. And I was like, oh, man, I didn't know, you could make it. Like, it didn't make sense when I read it, but that's exactly why I wanted to try it. It's basically cured salmon, camembert cheese sauce over noodles, some shiso, lemon zest, and just mixed together. And it's super like New York, but also the flavor is mind blowing. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I also love like all the shellfish ramen we have. So right now we have like a mussel fennel ramen, mussel broth blended with the pork chicken fish combo as well. I tend to like the more light stuff. I'm not really into the super heavy like tonkotsu style stuff.
Got it. What about you, George?
For me, I try to eat a different ramen every day. Basically been
what a hard life.
I know, it's tough. It's been 3 years and still eating this ramen almost daily. And I mean, that's what I love about this food is that it never really gets old. It's simple enough that that it's easy to just pick up and sit down at the end of the day and eat it. But I would have to say I never tell customers I have a favorite, because I think it's important to just kind of pick something that you feel like in the moment, whether mm-hmm. it is something more rich and hearty or more light and simple. That being said, I probably eat the shoyu ramen the most often, and that seems to be one of the more popular dishes at the restaurant as well, which it's not quite... too flashy or have a whole lot of flair or anything super unique, but I like the simplicity of it, which is what draws me to Japanese cuisine in the first place, is the simplicity of it, and it's a nicely balanced broth, and it's kind of an easy choice for me. But the bacon and egg is also the other classic Yuji ramen dish that's a simple mazumen, and
that's like the gateway to ramen
gateway
for a lot of
mazumen.
People.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a really good take on it, and beautiful descriptions, guys. So we're going to take a really quick break, and we'll be right back.
Today's program is proudly brought to you by Whole Foods Market, America's healthiest grocery store with more than 400 locations throughout the United States. Download the Whole Foods Market app on your smartphone for recipes, sales, information, and digital coupons. Or visit WholeFoodsMarket.com to find a store closest to you.
You're listening to Feast Meets West, and today in the studio with us, we have the guys from Yuji Ramen, George and JT. So, George, I have a question for you. What are some of the typical, comments or questions you get coming from the diners, since you're not serving something quite so traditional?
Well, the first question is often, what is mazumen? Because it's kind of very prominently featured on our menu, as those are our classic signature dishes, and I would say there are two things that the mazumen question is going to be the most frequent at Yuji Ramen, and so explaining maze means to mix, and noodles you mix up to get all the flavors together, how our company got started. But kind of more generally, and a question that folks that come to the restaurant with some familiarity of ramen is, what style of ramen is it, or specifically where is it from in Japan, or where's the chef from in Japan? And I think they're expecting to hear tonkotsu, or they're expecting to hear some prefecture or region in Japan, and a style of ramen that we're trying to replicate or kind of do most authentically. And I think it's often a little bit surprising when we let people know that it's really our original style ramen, and that it's originated in New York. Yuji-san often refers to it as New York ramen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because that's really where these ideas and dishes originated, is here in Brooklyn. And Yuji looking around and seeing first what seafood and fish ingredients were available around here to try and source the most fresh and available ingredients that to work with. And so explaining to people that it's really a New York region, an East Coast region ramen, is really important for us to present our menu. And it's what I think people should and hopefully think about is how ramen originally came about with these different styles in Japan. The reason why you know about these different styles, miso, shio, and tonkotsu, is that they generally originated because of regional preferences in flavor and taste, which had to do with what people were using and available to them. And
mm-hmm.
So through that same similar process is how our ramen originated, and how our ramen has ended up being kind of a distinct style.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Like the hopefully the bacon and the mazumen will be synonymous with Yuji's little, nook in Brooklyn, worldwide. And actually, so congratulations on the Japan expansion.
Oh, thank you.
So now you guys are bringing this Brooklyn concept of ramen back to Japan. So tell us about that. What's going on there?
Sure. So the first expansion outside of New York, our second location of the restaurant, is actually going to be opening in Japan next week, March 16th, at the Shin Yokohama Ramen Museum. Everybody should go visit. And it's...
done.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's really quite an honor to be invited to be part of the Ramen Museum. We've been... Well, it's been in the works for about the past year or so, but we've been been really fortunate and grateful to have opportunities to previously have done pop-ups in Tokyo, 2014, 2015, and we always kind of joked that it was sort of like bringing sand to the beach, because there, from what I hear, are more ramen restaurants in Japan than any other kind of restaurant.
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
So it's a little bit, sounds kind of crazy to be importing ramen from the U.S. back to Japan, but...
But you got to get that, like, Brooklyn breed in there.
That's
is
right.
That it?
The Brooklyn brand is pretty hot right now. It's trendy.
That's true. So do you feel like American perceptions for, or the taste for ramen has now evolved over the years?
I would say it's going to need, I mean, aside from instant noodle into, like, fresh noodles, mm-hmm. it's going to need a little bit more time. Right. What's hot in Japan isn't just, you know, the heaviest broth possible. While, like, paitan and tonkotsu are very popular, there's a lot of other flavors and styles that are more calm, more, like, balanced overall. It's not just about how much fat I could get into, you know, this 10 milliliter tiny thing of water. Whereas here, all the paitan and tonkotsu is the main thing. Like, if you go anywhere else, there's not really as much... I'm not saying that any... Man, this is going to sound really bad.
No, do it. Say it.
I'm not saying that they're not good, but there's a certain balance where you can't just push the heaviest thing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
There's a balance of, I don't know, flavors. You want to eat the whole thing and not necessarily feel as guilty about it. There's a pretty... I think in Japan where a lot of people actually don't finish the entire bowl of broth because they're pretty much raised to know that, oh, there's a ton of fat in this or a ton of, you know, mm-hmm. different powders or something else in there, and that it's not as healthy to finish the whole thing. Whereas from our end, we want people to actually be able to drink the whole thing and not feel guilty.
Got it. So from your perspective, a great bowl of ramen has that balance and enjoyed from, like, beginning to finish.
Yeah, and yeah. Not even just when you're eating it, but it's like when you leave later on, do you still feel good about yourself?
That's true. That is a really good point.
Although I do think there are some people that really kind of fetishize the fattiness and the richness of ramen, and in which case, I imagine there are some people that are going to go for the fattiest bowl of ramen in order to maybe they won't admit it, but punish themselves.
Not gonna lie, you know? I do that myself a lot too.
Oh my gosh, the best kind of punishment. Let's be honest. So in this kind of, I guess, competitive space of ramen worldwide at this point, how will you guys continue to stand out?
I don't think we really have to do much. Our ideas are we base everything more on philosophies. We're not trying to, you know, be the most authentic possible shop. We bring in a bunch of techniques, different ingredients, and then something will click at some point, like, oh, let's do this, and we try a few different iterations of it, and it's more about, like, locality, regional, seasonal, and kind of more just having fun with it. If we can't have fun making the food, like, how is someone else supposed to enjoy eating it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very honest approach.
Yeah, I love how JT doesn't overthink his food. There's a... I was reading an interview that JT had in a magazine recently, and he was talking about how he basically just said, we don't do anything to the ingredients, and I thought that was awesome. It's like, that's great. Yes, just let the ingredients come through. It's true. I think that what we're going to be doing in the future is just really just continuing what we've been doing so far, and kind of following that kind of framework that Yuji-san has established for not being confined to a traditional boundaries of ramen.
And what are your expectations for the, like, general future of ramen? Do you have any predictions?
I mean, it's basically, I feel like, aside from ramen expanding throughout the world a lot more, where it's in New York, it's pretty popular, but it's not, you know, crazy. Whereas
we
other
live
cities,
in a bubble.
Yeah. Other cities have maybe two ramen shops if they're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
But more shops increase, and then the variety increase. And for instance, in Japan, because there's so many shops, everybody has to do something a little bit different, or they have to, like, truly, truly excel at whatever dishes they serve. So I feel like the variety in Japan will expand a lot more. And then within New York, for instance, there'll be, the quality will obviously get better over time as more competition, but then people will begin to try other avenues as well.
Yep. Sounds about right. That's awesome. So that concludes our show for tonight. Thank you so much for joining us, JT, George.
Thank you.
Can't wait to go back to Yuji Ramen and have an excuse to go to Japan to visit you guys there.
Please do. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
If you enjoyed this episode, please do show us some love by leaving us a rating and review on iTunes. We're a new show, so we do need your help with your reviews to find the show. Simply search Feast Meets West on the podcast section of the iTunes store. Click on Feast Meets West by Heritage Radio Network and click ratings and reviews. We'll be back next week with more awesome conversations around the world of Asian food.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.